In reading through the book of Revelation and all that will happen during history's last chapter, Skip Heitzig says it's natural to ask one particular question.
In all of the wild schemes of God, the humanist might say, why would God ever conceive of a thing called the Great Tribulation? What would be the purpose? Well, there are many reasons. Perhaps three great ones that stand out is, first of all, the Great Tribulation will be a final period of judgment upon all nations who have presumed on the grace of God. God has been gracious, merciful for a long time. Warnings have been issued out in various generations in a number of different ways. And finally, God says, it's over now.
Make the connection at the foot of the cross. Study the Word of God and find the way into His love. And take the time to read, for Jesus took the time to bleed for our sins. Whoa.
You know, it's hard to believe that it was only 8 years ago, September 11, 2001, when America woke up to a very different world. Terrorists made a brazen attack on our nation, destroying the Twin Towers in New York City and damaging the Pentagon in Washington, D.C. It was a shocking and horrific day that we must never forget, no matter how many years pass. Yet as dark as that day was, much worse is in store for us as we draw ever closer to history's last chapter. However, like on September 11th, we must always remember that no matter how dark the days may be, Jesus Christ is always a beacon of hope. And we'll join Skip Heitzig for today's study here in The Connection in just a moment. But first, we want to encourage you to help us spread the hope we have in Jesus Christ to the darkest corners of the globe. Here's how.
Uganda is one of the poorest nations in the world due to destructive economic policies and persistent instability. Although improvements have recently been made in these areas, the road to recovery is still a long one. Even more crucial than the nation's economic revival is its need for spiritual revival. And as a member of the Global Connectors, you can help bring new life and a fresh move of the gospel to the churches of Uganda. For just $25 a month, you'll help support a global team that's working to transform countries throughout the African continent with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Sign up today when you call 1-800-922-1888. And when you do, you'll also have access to a new resource each month to download. This month, you'll hear a message from John Bosco Tulett of Calvary Chapel in Jinja, Uganda.
I always repeat that the book of James is not written to the non-believers. The book of James is written to the believers, those ones who have given their life to Jesus Christ. And He wants them to get rooted on doing exactly what God has acquired them that they must do.
Help the Christians of Uganda experience spiritual revival and a new beginning in their relationship with Christ. It's just $25 to be a part of the Global Connectors, but that monthly donation can help change the course of nations. Find out more and how to get that free download from John Bosco Tulett on James 5 by just calling 1-800-922-1888 or visit connectionradio.org.
Well, Global Connectors are helping us spread far and wide the message of hope in Christ Jesus, and we hope you'll be in that number. Call us at 1-800-922-1888 or look online at connectionradio.org. The destruction we witnessed on 9/11 was devastating, but it doesn't begin to compare to what awaits us when history finally comes to an end. That day will be a grand finale no one will ever forget. Stay with us to learn more.
And make the connection.
We'll begin our study in Revelation chapter 15 today, so if you'll open your Bibles, we'll join Skip Heitzig as he warns us not to be deceived by how short this chapter is. It's still packed with significance.
We come now to the shortest chapter in the entire book of Revelation. But even though it's the shortest, it does not mean it's any less important. In fact, what it essentially is an introduction to the grand finale. It's the introduction to the final outpouring of God's judgment upon the earth, which begins in chapter 16. And though it is an ominous kind of a chapter, it's one filled with hope. And singing is involved in this chapter. There's judgment, but there's also worship that we read about. There's more to come. In chapter 16, we notice that there are bowls of wrath. The first, the second, the third, all the way through seven are given. And then after this, it's ended. There is no more wrath to come. Now, not all catastrophes that happen could be called God's judgments. There are things that happen that are just the natural consequence of living life on planet Earth, of living under the curse of the fall, and it happens to all people. This morning, I bear on my forehead a mark of judgment. This is not God's judgment. This is just the mark of one who likes to take shortcuts. And after what happened the other day is, you know, my wife got angry at me and she just, no, I'm just kidding. I was getting off the chairlift, end of the day, done with snowboarding. My choice is, do I take the long way up the steps or do I cut across the chairlift and take the short way? I said, oh, I'll take the short way. Shortcut. So I walk across, knowing that the chairlift is there and it goes this way, but forgetting that it makes a turn and comes back. And I didn't see it. And 10 stitches later, I've learned my lesson. Now, I wouldn't call that God's judgment. That's just the natural consequence. The chairlift was always moving. I walked in the way of it. I got nailed. Jesus said that God causes the sun to rise on the evil and the good, and he sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. God sends rain. God sends sun, and even a few chairlifts with him. But every now and then I wonder if perhaps things that we see are not God intervening now and not waiting till the final judgment. For instance, a few years ago in India, there was a great earthquake. Very devastating. And my friend who was there phoned and said, this is one of the great centers in India for one of the deities that is worshipped. And it happened at the yearly festival when people had gathered after worshipping this great Hindu deity. Or back in 1920s in Messina on December 28th, there was an earthquake that shook Italy. And what is interesting is a few days before in the Christmas edition of their local newspaper, somebody wrote an article challenging God that if he was really real and almighty to send an earthquake. 3 days later, it came. Or the earthquake in California. Now, they've seen a lot of them, but back a few years ago in 1994, the Orange County Register had this article. Quote, the area encircling the epicenter of last week's powerful earthquake contains nearly 70 companies that crank out more than 95% of the roughly 1,400 pornographic videos made every year in the United States. Probably the most devastated has been the giant of the industry, VCA Pictures, a Chatsworth company that normally releases more than 100 videos every year. According to several sources, this office building was totaled, and other companies report a range of lesser damage. Well, just when you thought the worst is over in the book of Revelation, even though we're coming close toward the end, the worst is really yet to come. It is the grand finale. It is the final blow upon planet Earth, the seven last plagues of judgment contained in chapter 16. And now in chapter 15 is the setup then. It's the introduction. On one hand, we have angels that get poised, ready in position for this final judgment. And secondly, we have a multitude standing before the throne of God singing or praying, perhaps, you know, just bracing themselves for this final judgment upon the earth. There's nothing left to do. I'm just going to pray and rest and trust. I heard of an airplane that was flying and they got the radio signal to the control tower and the conversation went something like pilot to tower, we're 400 miles from land, 800 feet above water, and losing fuel quickly. Please advise, please advise. Next transmission. Tower to pilot, tower to pilot. Repeat after me, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. It's all that's left. Well, let's get into our text, these eight verses. Then I saw another sign in heaven, great and marvelous, seven angels having the seven last plagues, for in them the wrath of God is complete. And I saw something like a sea of glass mingled with fire, and those who have victory over the beast, over his image, over his mark, and over the number of his name, standing on the sea of glass, having harps of God, they sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, great and marvelous are your works, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are your ways, O King of saints. Who shall not fear you, O Lord, and glorify your name? For you alone are holy, for all nations shall come and worship before you, for your judgments have been manifested. After these things I looked, and behold, the temple of the tabernacle of the testimony in heaven was open. And out of the temple came the seven angels, having the seven plagues, clothed with pure bright linen, having their chests girded with golden bands. Then one of the four living creatures gave to the seven angels seven golden bowls full of the wrath of God who lives forever and ever. The temple was filled with smoke from the glory of God and from his power, and no one was able to enter the temple till the seven plagues of the seven angels was completed. We have two groups then in this chapter that are really the principal groups. We have first the sentencing angels. They're the ones that appear in verse 1 and later on in verse 5. And these sentencing angels have a proclamation of wrath from God. The second group is introduced to us in verse 2, and their song is given. This is a singing multitude, and theirs is not a presentation of wrath, but a proclamation of worship to God. So you have judgment going on, and you have worship going on at the same time. It's an ominous chapter, but it's filled with hope, prayer, worship, singing. In verse 1, we come to the sign in heaven. Notice it with me. I saw another sign. We've seen a lot so far. John records many of them. Another sign in heaven. Great and marvelous, seven angels having the seven last plagues, for in them the wrath of God is complete. Now we've noticed something already in the book of Revelation, that during this time of history, the judgments that come upon the earth are progressive judgments, and they increase with each one in intensity. We have, first of all, seven seals. There's a scroll that is opened, and as each seal of that scroll is peeled off, a judgment comes forth. There are seven of them. But the seventh seal brings the judgment now up to another level, and it ushers in seven more judgments. We call them in the Bible trumpet judgments, because the angels are blowing trumpets, announcing them. And six of them are given, and the seventh one brings judgment now to a higher level. Seven more, seven last plagues or judgments, the bowl judgments, they are called here. Now, when all of these are finished, when these last seven are poured out upon the earth, it's over. Then comes the destruction of Satan as far as ruling and reigning upon the earth. His kingdom is destroyed. Then comes the ushering in of God's kingdom. But that period of time will be the worst period of time the world has ever known. There have been some pretty bad times. There have been times of tribulation, trouble. We can think of a few just going back, and we think of the Dark Ages, a period when progress stopped, it was hindered, cultural development ceased. There were the times when the world was at war, World War I, World War II. There was the time of the Great Depression. And we could probably all think of instances when the world was pretty dark. And though there have been those times, there hasn't been a time described as the prophets described the Great Tribulation. In fact, almost all of the Old Testament prophets write about this time. And if you were to take all the verses that speak of the tribulation and all the verses that speak of the coming of the Messiah, Jesus Christ, there's more that speak of the tribulation. It's more detailed than any other event ever. Jeremiah says in chapter 30, "Alas, for that great day is here. None is like it. It is a time of Jacob's trouble," speaking prophetically. Daniel in chapter 12 said, "There will be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation, even to this time. And then Jesus said in Matthew 24, then there will be great tribulation, such as has not been since the beginning of the world until that time, nor shall ever be. Now there is tribulation, there is trouble. Jesus said everyone has it. In the world you will have tribulation. That is different from the great tribulation. That's a period the world has never yet known. And it's described in the book of Revelation, and the core of it is in chapter 16. We're now at the introduction of that. The question would arise then, why is there such a thing? In all of the wild schemes of God, the humanist might say, why would God ever conceive of a thing called the Great Tribulation? What would be the purpose? Well, there are many reasons. Perhaps three great ones that stand out is, first of all, the Great Tribulation will be a final period of judgment upon all nations who have presumed on the grace of God. God has been gracious, merciful for a long time. Warnings have been issued out in various generations in a number of different ways. And finally, God says, it's over now. The day of grace, the day of mercy is over. The world has presumed upon that, and now I will judge. A few years ago, I was on the way back from Israel, and we stopped in Rome, a few of us, and we went over to view the Sistine Chapel where Michelangelo had his great works. And on one wall is perhaps his greatest painting, dark, dark picture called The Last Judgment. And we had an interpreter there to tell us all what it meant. And the central character is Christ in this picture, and his hand is raised in judgment. And as you study it, it's a very difficult thing to study, this final judgment of God. But the gesture of Jesus in judging the world was to remind Europe of a holy God. And that theme of God's holiness had been lost by humanism of that day. And it is said, because the painting traveled from place to place in Europe, that those who viewed the Last Judgment picture by Michelangelo trembled as they watched it. That was the purpose, I think, was to cause men and women to tremble at the possibility of the future as they looked at God's judgment. They shook. That's one of the reasons of this great tribulation, to get the world to wake up, to shake them. There's another reason. It's a time of Jacob's trouble, said the prophet, another term for Israel. It would be a time when Israel would be so troubled, but God would intervene once again in their history. All of that preparing the nation of Israel to receive Jesus Christ as their Messiah. Remember, the first time he came, they didn't. The scripture says he came unto his own, and what happened? His own received him not. Well, we know that 144,000 will receive him during this time. Perhaps there will be more, but those will be the ones who are sealed. And there's a third reason for the tribulation, and that is for God to pour out his wrath upon a principal character we call the Antichrist. He was the character that, like Satan, exalts himself above the world, becomes the world leader, and the world says, who is like the beast? Who is able to make war with this one? And Jesus will be able to say, me? This one who amasses the armies of the world and comes against God and against his Christ. God will pour out many signs, many plagues upon the Antichrist. You might say that the Antichrist slogan will be, you only go around once in life. And this is his final time. This is his big shebang. But the truth of the matter is, you only go around once in life, and after this, the judgment. And he's about to be judged. Well, if this is the great time of trouble, if this is the worst time the world has ever seen, and if chapter 16 is the core of that most troublesome time, and it's about to happen, then why does John describe it like he does? Why does John say, I saw another sign, and he calls it great and marvelous? That's hardly how you would describe judgment. The worst time in history. Wow, great. Wow, marvelous. But that's how he describes it. Why? Because it's the last. Because after this, it's over. because the wrath has been going on for some time now, and after this, there's no more left, and that's great. I don't know about you, but all that we've been doing reading in the book of Revelation, as wonderful as the Bible is in revealing the future, it wears on you. I'm ready to get to the kingdom age set up and read about Jesus coming again. It's great. He says, it's marvelous. God is fulfilling his plan. He's bringing it to a close. These are the last judgments. After this, there are no more. The last episode is about to end. And so it's the last. And it's great and it's marvelous. Let me just kind of sum up what we've seen so far in the book of Revelation, and you'll really understand it. Back in chapter 6, there are seven seals, unparalleled war, famine, death. And then over in chapter 8, we get the seven trumpets. Hail comes from the sky, fire comes from the sky, the sea is destroyed or parts of it, the fresh springs of water are destroyed, more of the heavens are destroyed, the green grass is burned up. In chapter 12, Satan and his angels get cast to the earth. And we see this horde of demons in a chapter previous coming up from a bottomless pit, tormenting men and women for 5 months upon the earth. People hide in caves in chapter 6, it's recorded, and they ask the rocks to fall on them so that they would escape the wrath of the Lamb. And over in chapter 16, unclean spirits will gather men to the battle of Armageddon. And then it's over. When that sounds, when the bowls are poured out, there is no more wrath to come. That's when it all stops. And that's great. Sort of like the boxer who always lost a fight. He never won one single fight. And so finally the press asked him, why do you keep on boxing if you never win a fight? He says, because it feels so good when they stop. And John has recorded all of these signs and judgments. And finally, these are the last ones, and it's good. He's glad to see it go. Here's the point. God knows when to begin judgment, and he knows when to end it. He's in no hurry to start judgment. It's not like he's licking his chops going, yeah, I can't wait. Tribulation, all right. He's long-suffering. He doesn't want to do it. He's patient. He lets people get by with a lot of stuff. But he knows when to start it, and then he knows when to end it, and it won't last long.
There were some who felt that 9/11 was God's judgment on America. However, a brief glance at the book of Revelation reveals that when God's judgment truly comes, there won't be any mistaking it for anything but the judgment of God. The good news, however, is that you can be spared that judgment through Jesus Christ. Will you? You may want to answer that question soon. Time is running, and time has also run out for today's study. But before we go, this month we're featuring a prophecy update package called Alert 2.0.
What will be breaking news tomorrow? We could easily wake up to a major crisis in the Mideast. It's clear the pressure is growing. Iran is determined to build, buy, or steal nuclear weapons. Israel is surrounded by enemies, and the clock is ticking. The Bible gives us clues about the future, and though we can't know the day, we can know the season. And the changes we see should get our attention. We need to be aware. Alert 2.0 is a package of teachings featuring Tim LaHaye, former terrorist Kamal Saleem, Skip Heitzig, and General Jerry Boykin.
And I believe we're facing an even greater threat today than that we faced in the Cold War. I believe the threat today from this thing called radical Islam is the greatest threat that we've ever faced.
Alert 2.0 has over 3 hours of teaching content, including two bonus messages by Skip Heitzig from his Rumblings of War series.
If your only hope is that new home or the new car, well, enjoy it now, but it's all going to burn.
Alert 2.0, featuring messages from Tim LaHaye, General Jerry Boykin, Kalam Saleem, and two bonus teachings by Skip Heitzig. Order your copy today for just $20 at connectionradio.org or call 1-800-922-1888.
Well, that prophecy update package is certainly very timely for today, so pick up a copy and maybe share one with a friend at 1-800-922-1888 or look online for more information at connectionradio.org. And you could also ask for a copy of today's teaching, Getting Ready for the Grand Finale, when you contact us. It's available right now for just $6 when you call 1-800-922-1888 or visit connectionradio.org. Plus, anything you share above that suggested donation will help us continue these daily programs and also to reach out to new areas around the world. So please consider supporting this ministry when you contact us today at 1-800-922-1888 or write us here at The Connection, P.O. Box 95707, Albuquerque, New Mexico, 87199.
And make the connection.
Time we'll continue to explore the final preparations for the grand finale of History's Last Chapter. So I hope you'll join us here in The Connection, a presentation of Connection Communications, connecting you to God's never-changing truth in ever-changing times.